In June of 2015, I fully surrendered all areas of my life to Christ. Hey, Shalimar UMC, I'm Mary Alice, and I'm all in. I'm going all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. Although I had accepted Christ at a young age and lived as a Christian my entire life and always believed I was all in at 100%, I realized in 2015 that I played life by the percentage rule. You know, the 80-20, 70-30 rule. Thus realizing that I was continually holding back a percentage for myself, my worldly self. Now, in 2018, after 2.5 years of discovering my new normal and rewriting my life by really daily taking up my cross, leaving it all to Jesus, I recognized that the 20-30 kept tiptoeing back in. And it stole my abundant life of the Holy Spirit fully working in and through me. The major realization in knowing that this was happening is that I knew I was not receiving His full blessings in all areas of my life. So after a complete change of lifestyle and location in 2016, I knew I still had a few remaining decisions to make to have an all-in, totally different life. In 2017, I turned over my health, and this year, my finances. These were the remaining key areas in my 20-30 selfish percentage. For example, I had to break up with Mr. Haagen-Dazs and halt casual trips to TJ Maxx. I had to stop accumulating possessions and start accumulating experiences and continue to declutter my household and my life. After making this complete change in my life earlier this year, I was thrilled to learn in March about Shalimar UMC's church-wide study, Being All In for Christ. Through my Sunday morning class, I'm gaining the wisdom of what it truly means for me to be all in, and excited about what Christ is and will reveal to me. Now, I'm not ready to pack or build my coffin and sail away with no return, but I am ready to charge forward and play offense, knowing He will provide. As a Christian who has wanted her light to shine more brightly and boldly, being all in is providing the inspiration and reassurance needed to be sure that the cracks in my life, my jars of clay, will allow the Holy Spirit to fully shine brightly. In 2018, I'm risking more, sacrificing more, and dreaming more. I'm all in. Are you? I encourage everyone, if you are not in at all or in at a percentage, to give what you can and keep moving forward toward that 100% to become all in.
Our scripture passage this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Then the Lord asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" Moses replied, "A shepherd's staff." So the Lord told him, "Throw it down on the ground." So Moses threw it down, and the staff turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, "Reach out and grab its tail." So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty Lord, we're so grateful this morning for all that you've done for us throughout these past weeks. As we look into the story of Moses, I ask that you help us realize how we can give more. And whatever this 20 or 30% that we may still be holding back is, that you help us to release more of it this morning. I pray these things to your glory and honor. Amen. So how many times have we felt, I say we because I'm speaking of myself, we felt that God wanted us to do something, but we weren't prepared enough for it? I feel like, you know, we've been talking the past couple weeks about having to give more to God and go new places with God, but we probably feel like that we don't have the resources we need to do that. On 2 weeks ago, we talked about Abraham and Isaac, and we talked about what is it that we need to put on the altar for God. Abraham had to put Isaac, the thing he loved the most in the world. And it wasn't until God saw that Abraham would give anything, including his son, whom he loved so much, that he could proceed forward with his plan and promise. And I challenge us to, including myself, to look at what is the most important thing in our life. What do we hold so valuable? What Mary Alice referred to as that 20 or 30% that we could be holding back, and can we give it to God? Could it be our spouse and our children? Could it be our jobs, our accomplishments, our future goals? And can we give that up so that we can be fully in with God? Then last week, we talked a little bit about the story of Noah, and we talked about what does it mean to be a little holy crazy. And I challenge you to be brave, even if just for a moment, to step out in faith, to do something bold, to be willing for people to look at you like you don't know what you're doing, like Noah did. And what does it mean to tell God we're going to do something outside the norm for him? But maybe we feel like we don't have what we need to do whatever we decided we were going to do last week. I challenge you to think of three things. One, just say yes to God, whatever it is. Two, maybe to be a new follower or new committed follower of God. And three, to commit to not just sit in this room for 60 minutes a week and go home, but to be fully committed to the body of Christ. Those are three things that the world says are completely insane. So this morning, we're going to look into the life of Moses. And I tell you, Moses is one of those people last week we listed as being in the holy crazy group. And he had everything in his life set up for him. He was literally picked from birth to do great things. When he was saved from Pharaoh's mass genocide of the boys two and under, his mother put him in the Nile River, and he was picked by Pharaoh's daughter. He was chosen to do something amazing as God trained him in the house of Pharaoh. And as he became older and he realized that his people, the Israelites, were enslaved and they were being tortured, God told him, you've got to do something. And Moses' gut reaction was to kill somebody. And he goes, uh-oh. And he flees from Egypt. He meets someone in the desert who he falls in love with, and he gets married, and he ends up tending sheep for his father-in-law. And he does that for 40 years. He probably thought at this point that God's plan for his life was gone and wasted, and he'd never do what God wanted him to do. And there he is tending sheep in the desert, and he comes across a bush that's burning but not on fire. Now, he probably saw lots of burning bushes. He was in the desert. It's very dry. Things catch on fire. But this bush was like no other bush because it was burning yet not burning. And so Moses starts talking to the bush because the bush is talking to him. That's not weird. It's a little weird. You know, and the bush tells him, Moses, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. That's the conversation we've just come in on. So Moses is talking to the bush. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses has just finished this conversation of, I'm not fit to go talk to Pharaoh. Who else is better fit than Moses? He's been trained in the house of Pharaoh. He's had the best education he could possibly have because he was a child of Pharaoh in the eyes of everyone. No one has a better education than Moses. He has the best understanding of the protocols of the court of Pharaoh because he was part of the court of Pharaoh. Yet he makes excuses. I can't speak well. Okay, we'll send your brother. So he's made all these excuses, and finally he makes another one in verse 1. What if they, being Israel, what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Now, in the previous chapter, Moses had asked God, who shall I say you are? And this is the first time in scripture that God had revealed his holy name. He's never once said his holy name. Now, it's so sacred in the Hebrew culture that they don't say it out loud. We don't actually know how it's pronounced because the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures don't have vowels. They have consonants only. And the name of God is spelled Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, with no vowels. And every time you see it in scripture, it's got the vowels of another word called Adonai, which is the word Lord. So when you see Lord in scripture with all caps, that's the word Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. We have to guess how to say it because Jews won't say the word. Well, they're the ones who keep up with the Hebrew scriptures, and they won't tell us how to say it because they've never said it because it's too sacred to say. So we guess, and we think that we pronounce the word Yahweh. It's like this wind. It is so much of an essence of God. God is I am. God is I was. God is to be. God is. He is everywhere. So he says, I am here. I am there. I am everywhere. I am God. Tell them I am has sent you. So now Moses is saying, well, who is to really believe that you showed yourself to me? They're not going to believe it. Not only did you just tell me your name for the first time ever, but they're not going to really believe that you sent me. And so God says to Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses says, well, God, don't you know what this is? It's a shepherd's staff. I mean, obviously. Now, if talking to the bush was not enough, you know, now they got to have a conversation about the staff. And surely Moses is a little confused at this point why they're having a conversation about a shepherd's staff. The shepherd's staff was literally the livelihood of Moses. He used it to climb the mountains. He used it to fight off things that were going after his sheep. He used it to catch the sheep. It was everything for him. And God looks at him, he goes, what is in your hand? And Moses is like, it's a shepherd's staff. And then God says, take it and throw it down. So Moses throws it down. And it turns into a snake. Now, Moses runs away. He didn't run away from the burning bush to talk to him. But he ran away from the staff that turned into a snake. He probably used the staff to fight snakes. And now the thing that protected him has turned into a snake. Something that is a fear for a shepherd because snakes are dangerous in the desert. They can attack his sheep. And then God looks at him and says, now pick it up by the tail. Now, I don't know how many of you deal with snakes. I grew up in Alabama. And I grew up playing in the creek. Not the creek. The creek. I'm not from that section of Alabama. I'm not from the creek side. I'm from the creek side, okay? And I got taught at the age of 6 how to spot a water moccasin. My mom said if we were going to play in the creek, we had to know how to find water moccasins so we would know how to go the other way. We got taught how to look for snakes, how to deal with snakes, how to walk away from snakes. I will hike. I go, oh, look, there's a snake. Nice snake. I'll go this way. Don't mind snakes. They're over there. I'm over here. We all live happily ever after. Okay with that. But you know what you know about snakes? You don't pick them up from the tail. Because they'll turn around and bite you. Doesn't matter if they're a good snake or a bad snake. They don't like being picked up by the tail. And God looks at Moses and he goes, pick it up by the tail. And Moses had to be thinking, you're crazy. Now again, he's talking to a bush. Okay. And he's looking at his staff, which is now a snake. And the bush is telling him, pick up your previous staff, now snake, by the tail. But Moses does it. Now, this is a turning point in Moses' story because he's in Egypt, he kills a man, he runs away, he's been in the desert 40 years, he thinks his whole purpose of life is over, and now he's having a conversation with the bush, and his staff has just been turned into a snake. And he's been making excuse after excuse after excuse, and God says, pick it up. So he picks it up. And now it's a staff. And this is the first sign he shows Pharaoh. And what it tells us is that God gave him everything he needed. He didn't have to go find a magical staff. He didn't have to go to the staff store. He had the staff in his hand the whole time. He already had what he needed to save Israel. He actually had everything he needed to save Israel because the 40 years he had tending sheep helped him deal with the 40 years in the desert of the whining Israelites. Israel had no idea how to care for themselves. They had no idea how to get food, how to get water. As slaves, they did nothing for themselves. And Moses knew what to do. Now he was not a shepherd of sheep. He was a shepherd of whining Israel. And he was prepared. You know, we look into our book a little bit, and we see there's a story by a man, about a man called Cortez. Now, Cortez was a Spanish conquistador. And I want to start by saying he was very brutal. I do not condone his exploring techniques. Okay, he was kind of a mean cortisador. I said that right the first time, wrong the second time, sorry. But Cortez was kind of mean, so don't think that I am saying that he was a good, honorable man, because he wasn't. But Cortez left Spain in 1519. He sailed to Mexico with 11 ships, 13 horses, and 110 sailors. He made landfall, and he looked at his sailors, and he said, "Burn all the ships." They burned all 11 ships. Of course, they got everything off first. And then he looked at him, he said, "We will either survive or we will die, because there's no going home." And a lot of Spanish explorers came to the New World to try to claim land for Spain, and they all left and went back to Spain without succeeding, except for Cortez. He survived, and not only survived, he conquered a ton of land. And the reason is he had no plan B. And if we look, Moses had to fight the desire to have a plan B. Patterson tells us that 9 times out of 10, failure is resulting to plan B when plan A gets too risky, too costly, or too difficult. Moses had Israel constantly saying, "Let's just go back to Egypt. We're tired. We're hungry. We don't want to eat manna anymore. We want meat, Moses. We're tired of the desert. We're never going to see the promised land." And Moses kept telling them, "We have to keep going. You were crying out to God in Egypt. We have to keep moving." And because of Moses' determination to not revert back to plan B, they saw the promised land. Maybe not the people in the desert, but their descendants did. But if they had given up when it got difficult, they never would have. You guys chose things to give to God, your Isaacs, a couple weeks ago. I thought about bringing those pieces of paper and getting a nice big fire and boom, putting them in and let them burn. I thought I'd get some people upset with me about setting fire in the room. So let's just imagine that I did that. And I burned all your Isaac slips of paper that we brought to the front 2 weeks ago, and that we just burned them and they're all gone, and our Isaacs are gone. We give them to God and they're gone. The only way we can do what we need to do is if we let go and we let God. We can't hold on to the things we need to let God have, because he's already given us everything we need. It's in our hands now. Those steps of brave things, the 20 seconds brave, that holy crazy moment that we challenged you to do last week, you have all the resources you need to do it. You may not realize it. God's given you everything inside to do what you need to do for him. You just may not realize it. And my job is to help you figure out what God's equipped you with. I already had great conversations last week from some of you about what God's put on your heart. And I tell you, it was such a great week for me to see what God's moving in our church. So my question for you this morning is, can we continue to be a little holy crazy? Can we be like Moses? Because I'll tell you, Moses was amazing once he got all of his complaining out of the way. And this staff of his, it not only turned back into a snake and ate the other snakes of the Egyptians, because they did that trick too, but his snake ate their snake. And they parted the Red Sea with it. He did all sorts of amazing things with this staff. And Moses went on the mountain and communed with God. And he was so close to God, he glowed. I don't want to glow. People really will start talking. And I don't think it would be a good type of talking. But I want to be close to God like that. I want to be able to have a relationship with God where I just say, "Man, me and God are so close. We're just like connected in a way that I can't even explain." And the Bible doesn't say that that type of relationship that God and Moses had is unique to Moses. We just have to be willing to give God everything. So it's not too late. You can still go holy crazy with me and us be in the company of Moses. We just have to be willing to give God everything and throw all the excuses out the window and tell God that we are going to go all in with him. We're not going to hold 20, 30, 40, 50% back. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to worry we don't have the tools. We're not going to worry about what other people say. We're not going to worry that we don't speak well enough, or we don't have enough Bible knowledge, or that other people can do it better. That we're just ready to put it all on the table and give God all that we have. So you can still join in from what we did last week. If you weren't here last week, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But you can text these three codes to that number. The abbreviation there for 20 seconds, just saying all it takes is 20 seconds of bravery to make a decision, tell God, I want to do something you want me to do with my life. Maybe you need to tell God, I want to have a full decision to follow you with everything I got. I don't want to hold anything back. I just want to be your full child. Or maybe you want to tell yourself, I'm tired of just showing up for worship, sitting in this seat for 60 minutes and going home and going back to my life. I want to be fully integrated in the body of Christ. And that's what we do in Discover. All it takes is just taking a second and picking up your phone and saying, I want to move a step forward. 20 seconds, that's it. And you start that road of being all in. Just imagine, see, this is when pastors geek out. Just imagine if every one of us started thinking about what God could do with our life and what, like, the one thing our life could be dedicated for God in the community. And every one of us was out in the community doing amazing things for God. And I got to talk to you all about it, like, all the time. And my phone was just blowing up with people telling me what they're doing for God. It'd be great. I would just walk around all the time with these God stories. And I'd just be so excited. People would be like, man, Pastor Faith cannot shut up. It'd be the best thing ever. And our church would be unstoppable because we would be doing what God wants us to do. So I encourage you to pray about it. Ask God if there's something he wants. And let's partner together and do what God wants you to do. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, I am so thankful that we are in the company of so many people that chose you and to be holy crazy. And sometimes, Lord, I feel crazy, but I don't want to just be crazy. I want to be holy crazy. With you in my life, doing everything I can do for you. And it's all about what you want, not what I want. And I ask that you join all of us together in this room with my brothers and sisters, and you guide us of where we need to go in that so that we can be all in together with just taking one step at a time to give you more, to do more, to show our community what love is all about and how we can be in this with you. Help us be like Moses, Lord. Help us to take that final step of showing ourselves, showing others, even showing you that we're ready. Because it doesn't matter what we've done and what we've screwed up in our life, you can fix it. Moses had a lot of things he messed up, and you fixed it. And I know he thought in the desert it was all over and done. He ruined his plan, but you fixed it. So thank you for that. So redeem us this morning and show us where you're going to take us. Pray these things to your glory.